jump right into things this morning. We're starting a new series. If you turn to Genesis chapter 32, it's based on the life of Jacob, and I want to start by reading a story from starting verse 22. It's, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, and by the way, we'll deal with that in a couple weeks, the whole two wives part. But his two female servants and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions, so Jacob was left alone. This is when God will do some of his best work in your life, when you're alone, when the distractions are gone, when the opinions of other people are gone, when you're even away from the comfort of the people that you love, and you're alone. That's when God can touch you in the deepest places. He goes on, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? I've always thought that was kind of a funny question. They've been wrestling all night long, and they haven't even been introduced. Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with human beings and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. I'm calling this new series Dying to Selfie. And the reason I'm calling it Dying to Selfie is that most of you, I'm sure, have heard of the cultural phenomenon known as the selfie. In case you've been living in a cave for the last several years and you haven't become aware of that, a selfie is a picture that you take of yourself, usually with a cell phone, and then you post it online. I have read that there are over 1 million selfies posted worldwide every day. Now, let me assure you, the reason for naming the series this title is not a church campaign urging you to delete all of your Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter accounts. And it's not that we're going to spend several weeks admonishing you not to post pictures of yourself on the treadmill or status updates of what you just ordered at Starbucks or an adorable collage of your cat in different poses with scripture verses overlaid and hashtagged holy kitty. Hopefully we're going to go a little bit deeper than that. But I want to use the selfie as kind of a symbol of the conflict that we all experience. It's the conflict between who we really are and who we'd like to appear. The conflict between who we really are and how we'd like others to perceive us. Who we really are and how we think that we're supposed to be. And the goal, of course, is that we let go of who we think we're supposed to be so that we can become who we really are, who God created us to be. And so we're going to spend several weeks looking at the life of Jacob, because Jacob spent much of his life trying to figure out who he really was. And he made a lot of the same mistakes that you and I make along the way. So Jacob's wrestling in this match at night with this man. He's not even sure who it is that he's wrestling at first, but he knows it's got to be somebody powerful, and he's not going to quit until he gets the blessing. Now, this isn't the first time that we've seen Jacob wrestling in Scripture. In fact, the very first time that we see Jacob in the Bible, he's wrestling, and he hasn't even been born yet. We find it in Genesis chapter 25, verse 21. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answers Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. But the two children struggled with each other in her womb. So she goes for the sonogram, and they're hooking up all the wires to her and smearing the slimy stuff all over her belly. And then the technician says, hold on, wait a minute. This is weird. You got to see this. And he says, first, you're having twins. And second, they're already going at it. They're wrestling with each other. One of them is getting ready to do a body slam. You know, and Rebecca says something that every mother has said at some point with her kids. Why is this happening to me? She said. The babies aren't even born yet. She's not even done asking God to give her a baby, and now she's already saying, why is this happening to me? You know, wouldn't that make a good Mother's Day sermon? Why is this happening? So it says, Rebekah went to ask the Lord about it, and the Lord told her, the sons in your womb will become two nations. In other words, this is bigger than just you. And we're going to talk more about that later as well, because when God is doing something in your life, it's almost always bigger than just you. And it goes on, from the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve your younger son. And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat. Okay, how many of you guys are hairy? You know, anybody admit to that? You know, you got a lot of hair. It takes guts to raise your hand and admit to that. You know, some of you are hairier than you used to be. You've got hair that, like, moved from the top of your head down to the middle of your back. And Esau is your patron saint. The Bible continues, so they named him Chewbacca. I read that wrong. They named him Esau. The name Esau comes from the word red. And then it says, then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heels. The first time we see Jacob, he's grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. And Jacob sounds like two words in the Hebrew. It sounds like heel grabber and deceiver. And so when they saw Jacob grasping Esau's heel, they said, oh, we got the perfect name for you. You're heel grabber, you're Jacob. And that name stuck with him for the rest of his life because of something that happened before he was even conscious. So Jacob was born trying to get ahead. He was born grabbing his brother's heel, trying to pull him back so he could come out first. You see, to be firstborn in that culture was a huge deal. It meant that you had a lot of rights and privileges that the younger son did not have. For example, when the inheritance was given out, it wasn't split equally. The older son got twice as much. No wonder Jacob wanted to be first. Instinctively, not in his mind, but just something in his nature right from the start was this me first mentality. I want to be first because if I could just be born 5 seconds before you, then I get more than you. And for any of you who don't believe in original sin, that we're all born with selfish attitudes, that just tells me that you haven't had children yet. And if you don't believe in the devil, it just tells me that your children aren't in middle school yet. But Jacob is born with this me first mentality, just like all of our kids are. You don't have to teach a kid to say me. You have to teach them to say please. But you don't have to teach them to say mine. You don't have to teach them to say gimme. That's natural. We all start with this me first instinct. We live in a me first world. And let me ask you, how can you even have a God first focus in your life? In the middle of a me-first world, is that even possible? And all of our instincts are just me-first. All of the marketing messages we hear hundreds every day is all about me-first. Jesus said something one time that was pretty powerful. He said, the way it works in the kingdom is that many who are last will be first, and many who are first will be last. In other words, it's not always the ones who get ahead who are ahead. Now, we've all heard that before, but you know, if we try to apply that into our world and what we see around us, we're tempted to think, like, Jesus, what planet are you from? Heaven. Oh, you see, that's the way it works in heaven. As many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. And Jesus is bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. But most of us are still so earthly, we're still so wrapped up in our culture, that it's hard for us to even wrap our minds around the idea that maybe it shouldn't be me first. We honestly identify a whole lot better with Ricky Bobby's classic line in Talladega Nights. I put on the next slide. You know, if you ain't first, you're last. That's our culture, right? But let me tell you something, if you haven't already figured this out, you eventually will. If you spend your life grabbing at heels, if you spend your life with a me-first mentality and everything is about you and you're so concerned with what everybody else thinks about you, let me tell you, living that way is exhausting. Me-first is miserable. Me first is miserable. It's miserable to be always grabbing at heels. It's miserable to be living for yourself. It's miserable to be never having any bigger thoughts than what's in it for me and how's it going to affect me. It's miserable to be disconnected from other people because you're always thinking about yourself. Me first is miserable. And it doesn't even ultimately work because Jesus says that me first will be last and the last will be first. And in Luke 9:25, Jesus says, "What good is it for you to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit your very soul? What good is it for you to grab after stuff and grab after success and grab after status? What good is all that when you find out ultimately that it left you further behind than if you'd done nothing at all? Because in the process of grasping for stuff and grasping for success and for status, you lost your very self. And there's some of you here this morning that are losing your very self. In order to find yourself, you have to let God show you a self that isn't based on stuff or status or success. Because me first doesn't work. Jacob comes out grabbing at heels, but he still is born second." Now, let's fast forward in Jacob's life. This week, we're kind of jumping around doing an overview. We started at baby Jake. Now we're going to Jake the snake. Because the other meaning of Jacob's name is deceiver. And that's kind of how he lived his life. Now, his brother Esau, remember the hairy one, Esau was tough. He was rough. He was the hunter. But it says this about Jacob. Jacob loved to stay among the tents. In other words, he was a mama's boy. He liked to watch reruns of Downton Abbey. His hero was Bobby Flay. You know, Jacob could cook. Esau could hunt. And we see this as they grow up. One day, Jacob actually trades Esau a bowl of stew that he cooked for Esau's birthright. And there were two parts of being the oldest son. There's the birthright and the blessing. Both are important. The blessing is actually more important. And we're going to talk another week about how Esau gives up his birthright for a bowl of beans. And we'll be talking about how people often give up what we want most for what we want now. And how dangerous that can be. But a few years after that story, we see Jacob with a new scheme. He's already got Esau's birthright now. Now he wants the blessing. Why wasn't it enough for Jacob to just get the birthright? You know, why does he have to steal the blessing too? You know, what is his problem? Well, you see, the way life works is when you are centered on yourself in life, it is never enough. It is never enough. You've always got to have more. Author C.S. Lewis said, "We don't take pride in the possession itself, but in having more of it than somebody else." So it's not enough to be thin. I need to be thinner than her. It's not enough to be rich. I want to be richer than him. It's all about the er. You know, it's not enough that my kids are smart. They've got to be smarter than yours. Jacob's grandfather Abraham was actually born in a land called Ur of the Chaldees. I wonder if we aren't all still living in the land of Ur. I've got to be better, cooler. I want a nicer car, a bigger house. It's all about the Now, here's the problem with the It's that no matter how you get, you can always find somebody who is right? And so you're never content. Well, Jacob's already got the birthright. He swindled his way into that. Now he wants to steal the blessing, too. The story is found in Genesis 27. It says that Isaac, who you remember is the dad, Isaac was getting old and his eyesight was weak. And he knows that he doesn't have a lot of time left, so he says, "Hey, it's time to give the blessing to Esau, the firstborn." And the blessing wasn't just a prayer. It was like a prophetic statement that conferred the authority and rights of the father onto the firstborn son. So Isaac calls in Esau, and Isaac really liked Esau because Esau is the hunter, and he goes out and hunts for tasty game. But Rebekah liked Jacob because he's the mama's boy, stays at home in the kitchen. So there's this division in the family, two on two. So Isaac calls in Esau, and he says, "It's time for me to give you the blessing, but first go out and hunt and give me something to eat. After I eat, I'll give you the blessing." Well, Rebekah hears this, And she tells Jacob, hey, I got an idea. Esau's going out to hunt. Here's how you can steal his blessing. She said, your dad's almost blind. We'll dress you up as Esau, and you go in and get the blessing. Now, you read this, and at first you think, well, this is Rebecca's fault. It was her idea. But you have to realize, by this time, Jacob is a grown man. He is not a boy. He's not a teenager anymore. In fact, he is a middle-aged man by this point. He should know better. How many of you know that at some point in your life, you have to get past the point where you blame your parents? At some point, you get to the point where you pass blaming your mom. You know, my mom didn't change my diapers often enough when I was a kid, and so it's all her fault. No, you know, you're a grown man now. You're a grown woman now. You need to take responsibility yourself. And so Jacob goes along with the scheme. He dresses in Esau's clothes, and Rebekah gets some goat skins to cover his hands and neck, because remember, Jacob is smooth and Esau is hairy. And then she cooks some stew, gives it to Jacob, and he takes it to his dad. In verse 18, it says, he went to his father and said, my father. Yes, my son, he answered. Who is it? Because Isaac can't see. Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The Lord your God gave me success, he replied. So Jacob is giving God the credit for his lie. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. But that's not the end of the story, because Jacob and Rebekah forgot to think about one little detail, and that is, what do they do when Esau comes back? And Esau came back. He's just been out hunting, and so he has weapons. And Jacob is good with frying pan. Esau is good with a gun. Paper, rock, scissors. Rock always beats scissors. Gun beats frying pan, right? So Esau comes back and finds out what happened, and he says, he took my blessing. I'm going to kill him. And now Jacob has to run. He goes to his mom, and his mom says, you better run, boy. And so he does. He gets a blessing, but he ends up on the run for 21 years. Did you know that it's possible to get what you want, but then not want what you got because you got it the wrong way? Did you know that it's possible to get what seemed like a blessing, but the way you got it leaves you on the run because it wasn't really you? So this blessing wasn't really much of a blessing at all, was it? Because he's got to run. And I want to share something. This is kind of the theme of this whole series. I want you to let it sink in. God cannot bless who you pretend to be. God cannot bless who you pretend to be. God can't bless Jacob dressed like Esau. God can't bless you or me when we're pretending to be somebody else. I don't know about you, but there are many me's. You know, first of all, there's the me as I am, and I get kind of frustrated with that me. And then there's the me as I wish I was, the me that I want to be, the me that I hope to be, and that version of me is awesome. If you, like, met that version of me, you would want to vote for me as president. I mean, that version of me is always kind and loving and consistent, and he's disciplined, so he gets a whole lot accomplished, but he's at the same time fun-loving, and you know, he can eat as much desserts as he wants, never gain a pound. I mean, that me is amazing. Unfortunately, I'm not really that me, and everybody else knows that too. So somewhere in the middle between the me that I really am and the me that I wish I was is the real me. There's a third me. We might call him Counterfeit Ken. Counterfeit Ken is what I pretend to be. the me that I show to other people. Now, don't look at me all confused, because you have a counterfeit you too. You have a person that you pretend to others like you're like. We all have the me that we can actually see in the mirror, and we all have the me that we wish that we were, and somewhere in the middle is the me that you show to others. And so what we do is we get out the goat skin and we dress in Esau's clothes and we put on a mask and pretend to be like somebody else. And we do what we see somebody else doing. And we learn to talk the talk. We learn to wear the right brands and look the right way, because we think that we can get a blessing. And we think that's the way to do it. And so we become somebody else, only to realize the blessing really doesn't count for very much. Because Jesus said, what good is it to gain the whole world if you lose yourself in the process? What good is it? What good is it to gain the blessing of Isaac if you've got to run for 21 years afterwards? You can't even stay at home. What good is it? What good is it to fool Isaac when you can't fool yourself? You may fool your neighbor, but you can't fool God. And God can't bless who you pretend to be. And so Jacob got the blessing, but he lost himself and had to run away. Maybe there's somebody here today and you've got the popularity, but you're losing yourself. You've got the possessions, but you're losing yourself. You've got the home and the car, but you're losing your soul. What good is it to gain the whole world and yet lose your very self in the process? Well, it took Jacob many more years to finally figure this out, 21 years to be exact. And after 21 years of running from Esau, he finally decides, I'm going back home. I'm tired of running. And maybe there can be reconciliation. Maybe Esau will forgive me. Maybe he won't kill me. And so he heads back home. And of course, during that 21 years, he's had a lot of success. He's been working for his uncle Laban, and he's rich now. And he's married. He's got a bunch of kids. And you see, sometimes it takes you getting all the stuff that you thought you wanted to figure out that it wasn't what you really needed. And so Jacob starts on the way back home, and on the way back he hears that Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men, and he's terrified. But the night before he meets Esau, he wrestles with God. And that's the story that we started this morning by reading. Isn't it interesting that all of his life Jacob has been grabbing at other things, and now someone else grabs onto him? Now, the scripture doesn't specifically say it's God, and Jacob doesn't even really know at first that it is God, but he figures it out along the way, because at the end he says, I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Theologians will tell you that this was a pre-incarnate version of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus being God didn't just show up the first time 2,000 years ago as a baby. He's been around since before the foundation of the world. He just happened to take the form of a baby 2,000 years ago. But in any case, he and God wrestle all night long, and Jacob's hip went out, so he's hurting, but he keeps wrestling. In Genesis 32:26, it says, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I think you can safely assume that you have found yourself when you can hold on to God even when it's easier to let go. When you hold on to God even when you're hurting. When you hold on to God even when it's dark and you can't see clearly what's going on. Jacob says, I will not let you go. I might be hurting, I might be hobbling, I might not even be sure who you are, but I will not let you go. Have you found out that sometimes you got to just say in your life, I want this bad enough. I am tired of faking it. I'm tired of posturing. I'm tired of posing. I'm tired of trying to prove myself. I'm tired of pretending. I will not let go. I'm going after this all the way. This is important enough. This is significant enough. This matters enough to me. I will not let go. Some of you are tired this morning, but I want to encourage you, do not let go. Some of you don't feel like God is blessing you, but do not let go. Some of you might not feel strong enough, but don't let go. Some of you might feel like others have the upper hand, but don't let go. Why? Because God says there is a blessing for you if you don't let go. And so Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And Jacob says, I've been holding on to heels my whole life, trying to get blessed. I was holding on to Esau when I was born, but now I'm holding on to someone who is way greater than Esau, someone who actually has the power to bless me, someone who knows who I am and meets me face to face anyway, so I will not let you go. I'm letting go of what people think. I'm letting go of what people say about me. I'm letting go of my past. I'm letting go of where I've been, because I can't do anything about any of those things anyway. But as the sun comes up, I want to let you know, God, I am holding on to you. And then it gets a little weird, because in verse 27, the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob's thinking, well, this is a fine time for us to get acquainted. We've been wrestling all night long. You wrecked my hip already, and now you want to know my name? Why did God, in the form of man, ask Jacob what his name was? Is it like God didn't know? Well, of course he knew. He knew every detail of Jacob's life. But you see, we've heard that question before, haven't we? What is your name? When Jacob went in to see his dad, and Isaac says, who is it? And Jacob said, it's Esau. And he got blessed as Esau 21 years ago, but that blessing didn't work out too well, because he was blessed as Esau. Now it's time for Jacob to get a blessing for himself. And so God is saying, I know who you pretended to be, but who are you really? I know who you pretended to be. Are you going to keep on pretending? What is your name? And he responds in verse 27, Jacob, he answered. Heel grabber, deceiver, backstabber, the one who always is trying to be first. Yep, I'm Jacob. I'm finally ready to take off Esau's clothes, quit deceiving people, quit pretending to be somebody else. I struggle, I've got issues, yeah, I'm Jacob. And when he finally admits who he really is, look what happens, verse 28, then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Once he admits his real name, God can bless him with a new one. And notice, what is the blessing? The blessing is simply his new name, finding out who he really was in God. And he goes on, because you have struggled. Notice, it's because you've struggled. It's not always because of your success. It's in your struggle that God will give you the blessing and show you who you really are. Because you struggled with God and with human beings and have overcome, that's why you get a new name. Did you know that if you're a follower of Christ today, that God gives you a new name? Aren't you glad he doesn't call you based on what you've done? He doesn't name you based on who you've been. He calls you by what Jesus did. And he gives you a new name. He says, I call you righteous. I call you holy. I call you forgiven. I call you pure. I call you beloved. You have a new name. And Jacob didn't just get a new name, he got a new identity. Instead of Jacob, deceiver and backstabber and heel grabber, he is now Israel. Do you know what Israel means? It means triumphant with God. It means one who prevails with God. And here's the strange thing about this. You'd expect that now Jacob has a new name, Israel, that from that point on the scripture would use the new name Israel. But if you keep reading, you see that for the rest of his life, he's called both. Sometimes he's called Jacob, sometimes he's called Israel. And you wonder, why would God give him a new name if God wasn't going to use that name for him all the time? And I think it's because change is complicated. Change doesn't happen all at once, does it? Just because I have a new name doesn't mean that I'm not going to have the same struggles. Just because I know God doesn't mean that I completely know myself. It's a process. Now, on my computer at work, I use Microsoft Outlook to manage my calendar, but our church uses Google Calendar, and so I have that on my cell phone, and I have it set up so they automatically sync, so that my cell phone calendar will always match my computer calendar. But then I got a new cell phone a couple months ago, And then all of a sudden, I started getting this error message on my computer, and actually it's on the next screen. It says, Google Calendar Sync, error syncing your calendar, error code 2016, whatever in the world that means. And I get this darn message on my computer about 30 times a day. It drives me nuts. It is so frustrating. You know, it basically is saying, hey, I tried to sync up these two devices, but you changed something, and now it's not working anymore. There's a conflict. You know, there's a problem. It's not working like it's supposed to. You know, that is a picture of life. We try to make good changes, and it causes conflict in our lives, doesn't it? You know, I change my cell phone, and I get ear messages. You try to make good changes in your life, and it causes some conflict. You stop smoking, but now you're gaining weight and yelling at your kids more, right? You know, you decide to pray more, but now your Bible reading goes out the window. And life is all about these conflicting changes. You start to follow Christ and God calls you a new name. But guess what? There's still conflict. You've got a new name, but you still act the old way a lot, don't you? God calls you Israel, but you still feel like Jacob. But here's the good news. I want you to know that God is comfortable with your conflict. God is not intimidated by your inadequacies. He understands that conflict, and he is patient with us. And we also see this in the story of Jacob. The last thing that happens in this story is that Jacob asks the man his name, but God doesn't tell him because it's not the right time. And then many years pass. Jacob's now dead. His descendants multiply in Egypt, and they're made slaves. And then God appears one day to a man named Moses. He's speaking from a burning bush. And in Exodus 3, Jacob's descendant Moses asks God the same thing that Jacob asked God. He says, what is your name? You find it at Exodus 3:13. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what we are to say. You are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. Now, most people, when they're teaching about the story, they kind of stop there, and you know, that's the lesson of the burning bush, is that God told him his name, it's I am, right? But God doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 15. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you want to know who I am? You want to know what kind of God I am? Tell them this. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and you would think that he'd say the God of Israel, because that's Jacob's good side. That's the new Jacob. If you're God and you want to make yourself known, wouldn't you want to call yourself the God of Israel? Wouldn't you want to be the God of the good side, the God of the guy who was changed in the wrestling match? But yet he says to Moses, and he says to you and me today, if you want to know what I'm really like, if you want to know who I am, then you need to understand I'm the God of Jacob too. I'm the God of Jacob, the side of you, the part of you that you don't want anybody to know about. He says, I'm not just the God of your successes. I'm the God of your struggles. I'm not just the God of your victories. I'm the God of your defeats. I'm the God of Jacob too. And the God of Jacob is in this place right now. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and he is full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's full of love. He's full of forgiveness. He's the God of the hurting. He's the God of the hopeless. He's the God of the people who feel lost, the God of the people who are found, God of the backslider, the God of lonely places. He's the God of Jacob, too. Isn't that good news? Let's stand for prayer, and let's praise the God of Jacob. Would you bow your heads in prayer? There's somebody here today who needs a new name. You came in as Jacob and you're leaving as Israel. And if you need to place your faith in Christ, whether it's for the first time or maybe you want to come back home after 21 years of running, God wants you to know today that you can have a new name so that you're no longer called sinner, but you can be called saint. And that happens when you call on the name Jesus and commit your life to him. And so as we continue to bow our heads, I want to do something a little different this morning. I'm going to say a prayer, and I'd like everyone here this morning to pray this out loud after me. You ready? Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. I believe he died on a cross to forgive my sin. And he rose again to give me life. I receive this new life. I repent of my sin. I trust in you as my Lord and Savior. I will follow you all the days of my life. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship him together.